Chapter 12, Beyond Sadness. Amarok's swoon slowly dissipated and his thoughts gradually became clearer. Amarok, are you awake? A voice asked. The wolf blinked slowly and bright light blinded him. He cautiously opened his eyes and stared for a moment at a snow-white ceiling. Where? Where am I? He asked. You fell. Your friend found you in your bathroom. Confused, the Samoyedan sat up when he saw a vixen standing next to his bed, caringly stroking the back of his bandaged head and smiling. What happened? He murmured, squinting his eyes because his head was pounding terribly. Everything was blurry and unreal. Was he dreaming? Was he hallucinating? You had a gastric rupture, the fawn explained, and then you got a nasty concussion on top of that. We didn't think you were going to make it. That was a last-minute rescue. Who are you? The male wanted to know, looking at her seriously. I am Yeremia, the vixen replied calmly, bowing. I was with Joliad before you, for a few days at least, she went on to explain, causing Amarok to look stunned. Oh, he told me about you guys. But that was a long time ago. How is it that you and I, of all people, should run into each other? Yeremia sat down on a chair that was next to the hospital bed. Well, she began, I wanted to be an aerospace engineer. I changed my mind, though. Broke up with my boyfriend a few months ago and became a healer. It's a job that's more needed here now. When emigration to Somojija was allowed for some professionals a few years ago, I moved to this hospital. Yeremia held out a picture of their former friend Joliad to the impressed wolf, with only him smiling. I don't know this picture at all, said the male wolf softly and took it. He looked at it, crying silently. He was so cute, he said bitterly, and Yeremia just nodded, because she understood very well the pain he was feeling now. What have I done? Continued Amarok, crying. Amarok, the vixen interrupted him, read what's written on the back. The male dog turned the picture over and could not believe what he was reading, for my Amarok. Whenever you are lonely, my darling, I am with you. Below it was drawn a kiss smiley and finished the dedication with your vixen Joliad and a self-painted heart. When he read this, Amarok became even sadder and sobbed with narrowed eyes. He kept hitting himself on his thighs with his fists, whereupon Yeremia calmed him down. Amarok, calm down. Don't do that. Listen to what I have to tell you, she begged. The wolf stopped hitting, turned his head to his visitor and looked at her in despair. You had this photo in your apartment, Amarok, she said, wide-eyed. What? He asked incredulously. That's bullshit. I've never seen it before. Yes, it's true, I'm not lying to you. It was hanging in your bathroom by the mirror. Your buddy brought it here with you. Where else would I have gotten it? She replied. The stricken man pondered, so was this supposed to mean that he had always possessed this photo, but had forgotten about it? How could that be? This could not happen to him. One did not simply forget something so beautiful. Besides, it was the last thing left of his friend. This can't be true. I'm such a complete idiot. He berated himself. Well, if you had cleaned your mirror more often. The vixen admonished sternly. I had a gastric rupture, you say? How did it happen? He now wanted to know. You've obviously been drinking a lot for a long time. That's true, the wolf was ashamed and lowered his head in embarrassment. It has healed, thanks to state-of-the-art technology, but the next binge could be your last. I just want you to know that, Amarok. I see. No, you don't understand. Grumbled Yeremia angrily at him. You're sinking into self-pity and depression because you miss Joliad. And this is how you want to pay tribute to him? By drinking yourself to death? If he could see you like this. What then? The male called back, showing his fangs to the female. However, she remained sitting unmoved and spoke calmly, so it is true after all, hit dogs bark, they say in our country. After all, your friend warned me that you would certainly be aggressive. What friend are you talking about all this time? I don't have any friends, Amarok grumbled. Well, that weird Alsatian who comes across as strangely quiet. Now that the Alsatians had been in Aramaria for a while, Yeremia could have met anyone, and Amarok had seen some of them, in Somojija anyway, because after all Alsatianaya was the neighboring country to the south. Did he tell you his name? The male wanted to know, to which Eurimia just shook her head. Why, who is he? She asked, gingerly removing the male's head bandage. Oh, it's all right. Is he still here? The wolf asked frantically, and the vixen could tell that there must be something significant about this mysterious stranger. Amarok held her arm convulsively and had his eyes wide open, so curious and expectant was he. He seemed to be begging to know everything about the sheepdog. No, he was going to your house too. Well, clean up, Eurimia explained. He said he was already coming to the house and that you didn't need to worry. The Samoyeden could not believe it. Chenra was here near him, after all this time. This was unbelievable, especially in regard of his departure at that time. From his living room on the first floor, the wolf could hear voices. Surely he had only not turned off the radio transmitter, a kind of radio, and tried to remember all that had happened the night before. Oh man, I feel sick, he murmured and went into the bathroom. He poured water into the tub and sat down in it to relax a bit, which is why he also closed his eyes and sighed loudly. Suddenly he heard a voice saying, "Good morning, Amarok." Well, slept well? Immediately startled, he winced and splashed wildly in the bathwater. What is? Oh, Chenra, it's you. Don't you ever scare me like that again, you understand? He muffled, to which the sheepdog smilingly promised that it wouldn't happen again. He handed him the leaf of a yellow flower and told the wolf to eat it to get rid of the headache. What are you still doing here anyway? Didn't you leave last night? Did I miss something? He wondered. Well, Chenra explained, we did drink together yesterday after all. Yeah, so? Quite a bit, if you know what I mean. All I remember is that you kind of carried me up the stairs. After that, everything is black, explained the young male and laughed mischievously. You really don't remember anything? Echoed Gejaz, looking incredulous. The bather just repeated, no, really. I just hope I behaved myself. This made the dog think, he didn't know whether he should be happy that he had thus escaped serious problems, or whether he should be sad, since the last night would probably remain the only one of its kind between him and the wolf. If only he had gone, as planned. Actually, he should have known, Amarok had forgotten everything and would soon want to know nothing more about him. It was all a big mistake and the Alsatian had the feeling that he had only taken advantage of the grief and the alcohol. So it seemed only right that he received such a rebuff. But now go to the living room. I have to get dressed. I'm sure you don't want to see what I have down there, Amarok ordered, making a waving hand gesture. Why so shy? His viewer asked, adding, if you knew. He grinned, but the wolf opened his eyes and muzzle. You don't mean to say that you slept with me secretly and saw me undressed? He asked. The dog still smiled wordlessly and looked smugly at Amarok. That should probably jog his memory. Oh no! He shouted suddenly shocked, now I know. This can't be true. Did we have? Yes, we had. Overwhelmed, the male wolf lowered his head and seemed embarrassed. He wept softly and slurred words could be heard. Amarok, Gejaz interrupted him, we were both drunk. There's nothing wrong with what happened. The wolf raised his head and looked into the dog's eyes for a long time. When he saw those ambers, he remembered again everything they had done, and also who had done what with whom. We were making love even though my boyfriend just died yesterday? Oh, what a pig I am. He reproached himself. Chenra walked up to him and squatted down next to the bathtub. He sighed softly while Amarok still looked uncomprehendingly into his eyes. Please don't worry, the Alsatian tried to reassure his friend. Oh, who talked who into this yesterday? The latter asked angrily. It couldn't have been me, could it? Briefly Chenra thought and decided to tell him the truth, you accused me of making up your Njoliad story just to have a threesome with you. Then you kissed me wildly. Well, that's how I started to return your affection. I was also quite drunk and eventually got carried away. I'm just a male dog, you know. Oh, okay. I see. Yeah, it lights up for me now. Oh man, I never in a million years thought that would culminate into this. What is our relationship now? The shepherd wanted to know and stood up again. Tensely he looked at the young male, who now, wet and full of foam, stood up and stood in the bathtub. For a moment, Amarok's heart pounded up to his throat as he felt the sensation of a cold breeze. I can't. Joliyad. I'm sorry, Chenra, he stammered, lowering his head. The older male understood that the wolf was strongly attached to Kakodaz and missed him. He became sad, lowering his head as well so that their foreheads gently touched and the males leaned against each other. I understand that, Amarok. I thought maybe I could ease your pain. At least for a little while. Well, I had a great time yesterday. And knowing you well, as you can imagine, I thought I could be closer to you. Too bad. Amarok cried and sniffled softly with narrowed eyes. The sheepdog watched, still forehead to forehead with him, as the water ran down the wolf's fur and dripped off. I don't want to see you on the ground like this, Amarok, he spoke softly. It's not bad if you don't want to see me after all that's happened. But I would like to stay with you for a little while. The young wolf continued to sob quietly and otherwise did not react. Everything was so confusing for him and it felt as if a heavy weight was on him. How would he ever be able to carry this weight, alone and weak? He had failed. He was disgusting. Perverse. Shameful. I made you. Therefore, I know exactly who you are and how you feel. I know you can't be alone, without a family, without a pack. I fell in love with you yesterday then, even though I originally just wanted to protect you. And I feel that I never want that to end again, KJ's opened up about his feelings for Amarok, stroking the wet back of his head. He felt a deep inner connection to him, because it was true that he, KJ's, had invented him and made him the protagonist of a story. His wolfish friend stopped crying and stood motionless. He kept his eyes closed and waited for the next sentence the dog would say. The latter gently grabbed him under the chin and slightly lifted his head, whereupon the wolf's eyes opened again and looked back expectantly. Whatever it was, wherever it came from, Amarok also remembered that he had lost himself in those beautiful, canine eyes the night before. They shone innocently and good-naturedly. And you look even more stunning when you're wet, wolf, Chenra praised softly, giving him a gentle kiss on the lips. Amarok had to laugh, although he still had tears in his eyes. He hugged the Alsatian, grateful for his kind words, and snuggled against his strong chest. Gage's heart beat very strong, but also fast, because he felt much more than friendship for the male wolf. Now finish your bath, Amarok. I'll wait for you in the living room. We'll talk about everything later, the dog suggested and his counterpart nodded with a smile. I thank you, Chenra, the male wolf said. Everything I say is true. You don't have to decide right now. You don't have to say yes either, but when you come right into the living room, put on a happier face again. I prefer that and it looks cuter, you know? Yes, I will, the young wolf confirmed proudly and happily. Good, praised the sheepdog, so I'll see you in a minute. He went down to the living room while his friend continued to bathe, thinking, Joliyad, I hope you are well wherever you are. And I hope you agree with me when I say that Chenra is very nice. I don't want to forget you. That's not my aim. But if I have to go on living alone, I will surely perish. I don't want you to be angry with me. But there may be something to Chenra saying that he can help me get over the hard times ahead. Please, honey, don't be angry. I will always love you first. You know that. Give my friendship with him your blessing. A short moment later, Amarok felt another cold shiver on the back of his neck. He was startled at first, but quickly calmed down. Joliyad? Is that you? He asked fearfully. A soft, indistinct whisper sounded and the anthro swallowed. Slowly, he sank deeper into the tub and tensed his body. He was not sure if he had actually heard this sound or if he had just imagined it. Was this a spell? Was Chenra trying to play a trick on him? The whispering became clearer and the bather fearfully squeezed his eyes shut. When he tremblingly opened them again, suddenly a figure sat opposite him in the bathtub and looked at him. The wolf was startled and flapped his hands and paws. Damn! Joliyad! He shouted, feeling his heart threaten to burst. Very often Amarok sank completely into thoughts of the time shortly after Joliyad's death. This happened to him again now. Yeremia noticed this, whereupon she grabbed him by his shoulder, gently shook him and asked, Are you all right, Amarok? Huh? Yeah. I'm fine, he stammered. Were you just thinking about Joliot or the stranger? I don't know, more like both of them, the wolf mused. He turned his head to her and asked how long this mysterious dog had been gone again. I think he was here the day before yesterday. Why? Who is he and what does he want from you? Asked the vixen. Amarok, however, preferred not to give her an explanation about this, but rather to be released from this hospital as soon as possible to meet Chenra. Amarok, Eurimia explained, you can't leave yet. First you have to get back on your feet. I can talk to the doctor, but I think you should stay here for a few more days. At least until your circulation is stable. We'll treat the head wound with a regenerator tomorrow. If it must be, moaned the wolf, and the fawn said she would check on him again later. She left the room so that the wolf could be alone with himself again. He got out of bed and walked to the window. The sun was about to set, bathing the sky in a bright red. It was very mild outside, which invited him to leave, but unfortunately he had to stay here for a while. Sadly, he looked into the distance and caught sight of some construction machinery on one of the many fields. Again, the people would tear something away and build a palace of steel and glass. The area of Aramaria was no longer enough for them. So now it had to be Samojija as well. When would they have enough? When all the green would be gone? When all resources would be used up? Or never? The wolf turned away from the window and left the room. He entered the long, white, sterile hospital hallway where a few Aramarans, Samoydans and other Anthros were walking around. Some of them had healers' coats on, others were patients. They were easily distinguishable, for only the seriously injured were treated and cured in this hospital. An older fox approached Amarok and introduced himself to him. Hello, I'm Dragan. You just came from room 7, didn't you? At first Amarok was startled and looked at the fox carefully. He was at least in his early 70s and was holding onto a walker. He walked a little stooped and otherwise had a friendly demeanor. Yes, I'm in room 7. Why do you ask? The wolf wanted to know. That's great. Then we'll be staying there together from now on. His counterpart rejoiced. Yay, I can't wait, Amarok remarked wryly and bored. However, he decided to make an effort and be friendly. While he preferred to stay alone in his room, some company certainly couldn't hurt. I am Amarok. You mean? The Amarok? The one who killed the leader back then? Dragan marveled, his eyes widening. The male wolf didn't know how the fox would react, but what did it matter if he learned the truth? Yes, that's who I am, he confirmed, but today I no longer care. That was a long time ago. I just want to be left alone. It seemed as if the Aramaran wanted to praise him when he said, then you're something of a national hero. Thank the gods you finished him off that time, Amarok. But he just waved it off, I don't care why you're happy about it. I have no regrets. He deserved it. And now leave me alone with it, I want to go to the yard. Still friendly and cheerful, Dragan nodded and continued to push his rolling vehicle down the hall. He laughed and shouted something about having met a hero. At any rate, he gave Amarok the impression of not being quite clear in his head. Arriving in the yard, the male wolf felt the warmth on his fur. He realized that this very pelt must have been washed and combed during his fainting. It was clean again and smelled more pleasant. Everything felt better now, almost like before. The sun was still very strong at this time of day and the air was filled with the scent of flowers. What a beautiful summer it was. And the wolf almost let it pass, or even worse, didn't survive at all. What had become of him? Eurimia was quite right, he was neglected, trapped in self-pity. It almost cost him his life, but that could not be repeated. It was true that he wanted to honor Joliad, and apparently he would have missed this noble goal by a hair's breadth. My darling, I promise this will never happen again. You have my word, Joliad, the Samoydan vowed, gazing at the sunset. He sighed and closed his eyes in relaxation, taking a big breath and letting the warm air fill his lungs. I thought you were dead? Exclaimed Amarok, but Joliad smiled steadfastly at him. Yes, I suppose I am, the latter then said, but that doesn't mean I can't watch you. How is that possible? Asked Amarok in amazement. Let's just say a lot of things finally make sense where I am now. It's all so simple and great. But at the same time, it's also very hard to explain. I'm here to show you that I'm doing very well here. Where I am now. My Jolie Yod. His beloved spoke pleadingly, "Come back, please." But the fox only shook his head sadly and moved his hands in the bath water. "I can't," he said. "But why not?" "Because I can't. I only have this one moment where I have to say goodbye to you forever. I'm lucky I get to see you one last time," Kako explained sadly, looking back into Amarok's eyes. "I miss you, my sweet wolf. We've only been apart for a few hours, but already I miss you. I never thought our relationship would come to such an end." Wolfish tears dripped into the water and the Samoyeden took his companion's head in his hands. He looked back sadly and his lips quivered. "I can't be without you, Jolie Yod," the wolf whispered, and they shared a long kiss. The fox cleared his throat so as not to start crying too, and told Amarok not to be afraid, because everything would be all right. They would see each other again someday, then, when the time had come. "I don't want to wait that long. I'd rather kill myself than be without you another day," the wolf promised, but his friend put the brakes on him, "Don't do that." "Why not?" "If you commit suicide, we'll never see each other again. Then you will never come here to me." "And why not?" "Murderers are not rewarded. And a suicide is also a murder. The gods do not negotiate with murderers about their fate." "Explaining that takes time I don't have," Jolie Yod said. "Please just promise me you won't commit suicide." Finally, Amarok swore high and holy that he would not end his own life, whereupon his fox continued, "Besides, you've made a new friend." "Jolie Yod, it's not," the wolf now blurted out and got into trouble explaining. "It's all right," his companion interrupted him, "as long as you feel good about it. I know who Chenra Gejaz is. Since I've been here, a lot of things have become clear to me. I understand it. Everything. I know what the Vulpes Lupus Canis, the book Chenra always talks about, is. It's all so simple." Amarok did not understand and asked, "What is simple? Who is he? What does he keep talking about creating and stuff? It's very hard to comprehend." "That's not so important yet, my dear," spoke the fox spirit. "Gejaz is a very nice, loving male. He is afraid of getting lost in his thoughts, his book. You have to help him so that his personality doesn't get damaged. I know you have no intention of deceiving or hurting me, Amarok." Embarrassed, Amarok was sure that Jolie Yod knew about his slip last night, so he bowed his head and reproached himself. Why had he cheated on his sweetheart? How could he have done such a thing? But the male fox just petted his friend and smiled, "I know what happened. It's all right." "Really? I didn't mean to. Please believe me, Vixen. It was just too much, the day, the alcohol. Everything is fine, my darling, really. Chenra will help you through this difficult time. Per aspera ad astra, through the rough to the stars. You need him. And believe me, he needs you too. He is here alone, a man in dog form, surrounded by the war between the people of the sun and the people of the moon. He has a hard time understanding his history, his own mind and its ideas. He has put himself through far too much. Please help him." "And how am I going to do that? I have lost everything." "I have lost you," said the Sama quietly. But his friend just smiled and said, "I looked into his eyes when he looked at you. He loves you, just like I do." "You think so?" asked Amarok incredulously. "For sure. If you were here now, you would understand many things better. Just believe me when I tell you that everything is right." "You're just saying that." The wolf wanted to begin, but Kako beat him to it. "No, it's like this. If you ask me, I'm very okay with knowing that you and he are, you know, together. You need each other. I know you'll do great things together. And you have to admit one thing, he's handsome and has beautiful eyes." Now the males hugged each other and Amarok grinned with an "oh yeah, that's right" on his lips. He felt the body of his lover. Although the Aramaran had to be a ghost, he felt its fur, smelled it. But there was no heart to be heard beating there. No pumping. No power. Only stillness. Silence. "I love you, Jolie Yod, and I will always love you," maybe you're right, and Chenra and I will get part of the way together. I want you to know that I will never forget you, Amarok vowed as his fox broke the embrace again with a smile and stroked his head fur. I know you will, sweetie. Before you perish, find happiness with him. Trust that this is what I want. I want you to be happy. To be alone, without family, you can't. If you are also sure with him, live a life with Chenra. He is a very nice, intelligent male. I like him. And sexy he is, too, judging from what I saw yesterday. The fox winked kindly and Amarok felt that he really meant what he was saying. He said it with an affectionate honesty and determination that gradually dispelled all the wolf's doubts. The Aramaran looked at the wet wolf's body and stroked his chest as he said, "If only I could. One last time with you." Sadly, two wonderful, deep blue eyes looked at Amarok as he admitted, "I'm afraid we can't do that, sweetie." "I know," his fox agreed, and they kissed again. It was a kiss that did not feel like before. Amarok could feel the touch of their two muzzles on his lips, but it tasted of nothing, was cold and insubstantial. Only the intimate love between them both he could feel. When the kiss ended, Amarok was suddenly sitting alone in the bathtub. His friend had disappeared, which made him very sad. Where had he gone? Was he in heaven looking down on the world? Prospera ad astra. You can do it, Amarok. The voice of the fox still whispered in his thoughts. Amarok opened his eyes again and decided to go back to his room because it would be dark soon. After all, he also had a new roommate and wanted to get to know him. It was a good opportunity to finally escape this depressive phase and make new friends. When he entered his room, Dragan was lying on his bed, looking joyfully in the direction of the wolf, who couldn't help but smile as well. "Hello, Amarok," he spoke. "It's great weather out there, isn't it?" Amarok nodded and sat down on his bed. "Why so shy? You can sit with me, wolf," Dragan offered, making an inviting gesture with his hand. So the Samoyeden got up and sat down next to the fox, who was visibly pleased. "Very well, Amarok," he began, "so you are the one who defeated the great Carteron. Is it true that he killed your friend?" His counterpart nodded thoughtfully, "Indeed. And that's why he deserved to die. He killed my whole family and many other wolves." Amarok still felt an inner anger and restlessness when he said these words. A long time may have passed, but he did not want to forget all that had happened then. Nor could he, even if he tried. "Your friend, who was he? Was he also a wolf?" the fox asked with interest. "No, he was an Aramaran. It's a pity that while everyone seems to know who I am, no one knows anything about my friend. Apparently, he was too insignificant for you. Yet he was much greater than me," grumbled Amarok. Dragan apologized for his cluelessness and bowed his head as the wolf sighed and explained, "Joliad Kakodaz, that was his name, and he was the dearest, sweetest Aramaran there could be. He was very brave and believed in good, the good in everything, even in Carteron, that pig." "I understand. It must have all been very hard for you. After all, you lost everything. Today, I don't think anyone thanks you for taking on this struggle." A pause arose, during which the male wolf looked at Dragan out of the corner of his eye. He was of athletic appearance and had very clean, well-groomed fur. His right hind paw was bandaged, for apparently it was broken. A long, bushy tail protruded over the edge of the mattress and lay there still and unmoving. His green eyes looked very thoughtful, sad, and something told Amarok that they must have already seen many things he had no idea about. "I am very grateful to you for destroying him," Dragan opened, breaking the silence. "What?" asked Amarok, looking at him with widened eyes and open muzzle. "He had it coming? You're right about that. But he was your leader?" "He wasn't anymore when he killed my grandson Alijano. That's why I came to Samojija. I didn't want to live in that shitty country anymore." This statement shocked Amarok deeply and now he did not know what to say. As chance would have it, after quite a few years he was sitting next to a fox who also had a good reason for hating Carteron. "By the gods! I didn't know," he stammered. "It's fine, Amarok. Alijano grew up without his parents and I treated him as my son. He was very important to me, you know. You avenged him and for that I am infinitely grateful. If I had known where you lived, I would have visited you. War always has new heroes, great and small. Those who will write history and those who will be forgotten forever. For me, you were the silent hero, unknown to me. Now I'm glad to have met you. Did you find Aligiano then? Asked Amarok curiously, to which his interlocutor sighed loudly. No, because the headquarters was almost leveled to the ground when your people came back out. My son was killed, by whoever. It doesn't matter anymore who it was. Wolf or fox. I know that Carteron took him from me with his delusions. That's crucial, Dragan said quietly, tears in his eyes. I am very sorry that you lost him, Amarok said sadly and was very touched by this fate. The elder cleared his throat, then said there was no need for an apology. The war cost you your family, too, Amarok. Surely you fared no better. It's not over yet. Who knows how many more foxes and wolves it will take until Atamok Carteron finally gives up. Atamok Carteron? That's the son of the leader, right? Is he his successor? Yes, that's how it is, Dragan confirmed, and that's just how it goes on. His scion, as his only bearer of the name, had taken over the leadership of the empire immediately after his death. He could not return to the capital and is now said to have built new quarters somewhere in the west. Amarok thought, if Atamok was the only successor to Carteron, he too would have to disappear for the Aramaran dictatorship to end. What about Eurimia, his daughter? Did you know she was working here? He wanted to know. Yes, I know that. We foxes are lucky that the Samos give us asylum after the way we treated them. Eurimia was pardoned by the Samoyedan royal family and has been making herself useful ever since. She didn't want this war either. She is probably rather harmless, the elder explained. It may be, his counterpart then mused, that she is harmless. Atamok, however, is not. Joliad told me about him and said he must be quite an ass. Now Dragan laughed, yes, that's it. Just like his father. I'd love to smack him so that he understands that he has to give up in order to finally let his people live in peace again. I only made the war worse. I don't know what I can say or do to make up for it. I'm so sorry for everything, Dragan, Amarok apologized. Don't be sorry, Wolf. The fight would have started at some point anyway. I understand that you wolves had to fight back. I'm a very proud grandpa, because after all, my grandson was a good fox. Let's go to sleep for now. Tomorrow we'll talk more. That is, if you want to. The fox smiled again and Amarok felt that it seemed to do him good to talk about all this. So he agreed and was now also glad to have a nice roommate in the room. He lay down in bed and Dragan also turned to his side. It took only a short moment for the wolf male to fall asleep and dream. Sad that his lover had disappeared, the male finished his bath and dejectedly descended the stairs to the living room. Again and again he asked himself what all this was about. What was going on lately? Everything was so strange and many mysterious things were happening that he couldn't explain. Was it all just an endless dream? Amarok expected to find Chenra in the living room, but he had disappeared. He had just said that he would wait for the wolf to talk to him about his feelings and now he was gone. He must have changed his mind, which stunned the wolf at first. The room was empty. Agonizing silence. Lonely solitude. Overwhelming grief. Where had he gone? Amarok ran around the apartment looking for Gejaz. But he secretly knew that he would not find him. Surely he felt remorse, regret for last night. Gods! Why are you doing this to me? Why are you taking away everyone who is close to me? The wolf asked, sinking into his chair and beginning to cry. They had taken everything from him, his family, Joliad and now Chenra. This Alsatian was supposed to be his last attempt to exist in this world. Now he was gone, without explanation or goodbye. There was no reason. Everything was fine after all. They were going to try to be together. And now? Now everything was ruined. How could Amarok imagine that everything would get better again if he slept with that stupid dog? I hate you, Chenra. He shouted, knocking two glasses off the table with his hand. He was desperate and sad. This sadness quickly turned into unbridled rage and he stood up, lifted the table and threw it at the radio transmitter, which then broke into many pieces. The wolf ran around the apartment, completely out of control and smashed everything that crossed his path. He stopped at nothing until his apartment looked like a single pile of rubble after an earthquake. When he could take no more from exhaustion, he dropped to the floor and sat there still and motionless for a very long time. "They all left me," he thought and cried softly again. They had all disappeared and he had no one left. It was he who wanted to bring freedom to his countrymen, but now he himself was to be the prisoner, trapped in endless grief and depression. "Ah, shit," he said aloud, "it doesn't matter anyway." The wolf stood up and took a full bottle of Copaic from the shelf. He sat down on the floor and leaned with his back against the refrigerator. Looking at the bottle, he spoke, "I drink to you, Joliad. I love you. And I drink to you, my parents and Edna. You are my family, and you always will be." A brief reflection followed. "And I drink to victory over you, Carteron. May you burn in the eternal fire of the sun, you vile butcher." This first reach for alcohol was to change the next period of his life forever. The Samoyedan quickly drank half of the bottle. He felt the burning sensation, but he didn't care. Again, he then mourned and shouted, "And I'll drink to you, Chenra Gejays, you filthy mutt. If we ever meet again, I will kill you, I promise." He took another sip and pictured what he would do to this dog if he met him. He would find him, would it also be the last thing he would ever do?